Are we good? Yes, there we go. Good morning. How's everyone doing? I would like to start off with a big thank you to all who volunteered and who showed up to ring the Salvation Army bell and who braved the cold and stood out there, if you were like me, for almost the whole hour. And then my guy showed up early to come and get the bucket, so I got to leave 45 minutes after I started. And also a huge thank you to Peggy for organizing that and for getting us all ready for that. Speaking of volunteers, if you would like to put yourself on a rotation to serve in the nursery, I would like you to please contact Bjorn. His email address is in the midweek news and on the back of your bulletin. So please contact him. We do need nursery workers. As of, I believe it'll be the Sunday after Christmas and on into the new year. So please contact Bjorn. We will continue collecting the Christmas joy offering each Sunday morning of the Advent season, which will support church workers and their families during times of financial hardship. This evening, I hope to see all of you here in this building. If you are not able to come tonight to Lessons and Carols, I invite you to be with us online. It promises to be a wonderful program, and I am really excited to share this for my first time with all of you. I would recommend that you come early. The program technically starts at 5, but the prelude music will start at 4:45, and if you would like premier seats, it's first come, first serve. So please come and get the seats that you prefer. On Saturday, December 14th, First Presbyterian is going to host the Church Women's United Christmas Brunch in Hollis Hall at 11 a.m. So ladies, please plan to attend this event. We would like to have a good showing from First Pres. And bring a finger food or hors d'oeuvre to share, and desserts will be provided. Next Sunday, December 15th, ought to put me into a state of insanity. No, I'm just kidding. We have a lot going on next week, all of it fantastic. We will have our children's Christmas pageant during worship, and then immediately following worship, we will go upstairs to Hollis Hall for our fellowship luncheon. And during the luncheon, we will have our Advent workshop. And yes, we need volunteers to work some of those craft tables. Again, you can contact Bjorn. And then those of you on session, I should have thought of this sooner, but it occurs to me we also have a session meeting at 12:30 next week. And so I will be sending you an email sometime tomorrow morning, hopefully first thing tomorrow morning, to talk about whether we might push it back by a little bit or what we might do, because I want everyone to be able to participate in the Advent workshop. So session members, please be looking at your email first thing tomorrow morning. Our mission team would like to invite you to join them to assemble 40 Christmas food baskets. Oh, yes, and I've got a gentleman that's going to come up and talk more about that. Thank you for reminding me. I completely forgot.
Well, we're doing 50 this year instead of 40. First of all, and okay.
Yeah, so the people at home can hear.
All right. So first of all, we're doing 50 this year instead of 40. And those of you that have helped us pack these boxes before will probably remember, this is a fun thing to do. We're going to meet Wednesday morning, December the 18th, Wednesday morning, December the 18th at 9 o'clock in the Fellowship Hall. The old saw of many hands make light work really works in this. Thanks to Alice Inslee, we've got 25 baskets going to Park Creek and 25 going to Dawnville Elementary this year, pretty much same as last year, except we just upped the number. So what we need is willing, happy hands to pack boxes. All the food will be there, laid out in a big semicircle. All we have to do is bring the boxes around and stuff in them, and it'll all be very well organized, and it's always a lot of fun. People make more noise than I can imagine just packing boxes entails, but it's always a lot of fun. Then we, the next need we have is transport. So any of you that have a truck or a big SUV that would be willing to help deliver, that'll be welcome too. Schedule pretty much is going to be from 9 to 10. We pretty much have all these boxes packed in an hour, believe it or not. And then that at that point, if you're working that day, you can go back to work. If you can stay a little bit longer and help deliver, that's great. Delivery, probably you'll be back home by 11:15, something like that, even after the delivery. So mark your calendars and come have fun with us Wednesday, December the 18th at 9 o'clock, Fellowship Hall. Any questions, just see me after the service. Thanks.
On December 19th, the ladies of our church will be abandoning all of the menfolk who typically go to Presbyterians at the pub. But not to worry, gentlemen, while the ladies gather at Jody Johnson's house from 4:30 to 6:30 that evening to enjoy some seasonal socializing over tea and crumpets, as Walter assumes, you are invited, gentlemen, to choose your beverage at the pub, along with some baked goodies provided by your wives and friends that will be waiting there for you. Do we have any other announcements for the good of all? Then as we prepare our hearts and minds for worship, the peace of Christ be with you all.
Please stand for the lighting of the Advent candles. We light the candle of peace as a sign of the coming light of Christ. As the Lord has promised in days to come, the wolf shall dwell with the lamb, the leopard shall lie down with the kid.
Death and life
And let us pray. Covenant God, you send us messengers to cleanse and refine us for your coming. Help us endure the mirror of the message brought to us by the prophets, that we may see you when you suddenly appear among us. Through Jesus Christ, amen.
Thank you. be seated. Now, stand for the call to confession. Saints, let us trust in God's love for us and confess our sin, confident in God's mercy, praying first in silence. Thank you. And together we pray. Refining God, you have sent us prophets, and we have not listened. We have not always determined what is best or made way for your reign in our lives, our church, and our society. Forgive us, we pray, and renew your covenant within us. For the sake of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Friends, I am confident of this. If we repent, God is sure to forgive. The one who began a good work in us will bring it to completion. Friends, believe the good news of the gospel.
In Jesus
Christ, we are forgiven. Thanks be to God.
You may be seated. I'd like to invite all of the children to come up here and sit with me on the stairs. Good morning. So I already know the answer to this question. How many of you are ready to sing this evening? All of you, yes, that was the correct answer. So we are having our lessons and carols, and I have a confession to make to you all. I have, with all the busyness of the season, I have forgotten to have Leif and Lavinia practice. So they've been coming to the practices with all of you, but we've not been practicing at home. And so I was hoping that you would let us practice. Can we do that this morning? Do you think we can? Okay. So we're talking about peace this week as part of our Advent celebration. And tonight we're going to be singing, what was it? What are we singing tonight?
Silent Night.
Silent Night. That's the one. Yes. And so I was hoping we could sing that together. Now let's piece it apart though, okay? Sometimes when you're learning a song or you're singing a song from memory, because two of you can read too, can't you?
I can.
You're working on it. You're going to get there. Yep, you start kindergarten next year, and then you'll start learning to read. But when you don't know to read, you have to have it memorized, right? You can almost. I bet there's a lot of words that you can read, but maybe not all of them yet. So we have to memorize it, and memorizing can be a tricky thing. Thank you. So we're going to start off the song together. And the first words are easy, right? Because the silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright. Isn't it easier when it rhymes?
Yes.
Yeah, it's so much easier. So is everything... Yeah, there's God. That's Jesus. Remember when we did Where's Jesus? He's still in my folder every Sunday. So there's Jesus right there. Yeah, he's peeking out and waving at me.
He's trying to give you all Jesus' power and not give it to anybody.
Oh, no, that's not how it works. So let's ask, though, if we have silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright, is that peaceful? Does that sound pretty peaceful? Your parents would say yes. When you're silent and calm, it is nice and peaceful. And then the next words get a little tricky. So let's look at this. Let's do it all together. Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright. And here it comes. Round yon virgin. Now hold up. What does that mean? I don't know. That's what I thought you'd say. So round is just because we only have one note to say it. So that's like a round. Okay? And yon,
like
a circle, exactly. And yon virgin just means that we're gathered around a young mother and child. Yeah, it also sounds like yawn, right? Like
I do quiet yawn.
You do a quiet yawn? Oh, that's good. So let's look at all this put together now. So we have silent night, holy night, all is calm. Say it with me. All is bright. Round yon virgin, mother and child. And then here's the next part. Holy infant, so tender and mild. There we go. Can you say that again?
Holy
infant. What's an infant? What's an
elephant.
Remember, not an elephant. No. So a baby, yeah. So yesterday when you were practicing up there in the balcony and I was doing like this, I was trying to remind you. So it's holy, yes, infant, tender and mild. And I've lost my place. What comes next? Sleep, this part's easy too. Sleep in heavenly peace. There's the peace. There we go. Sleep in heavenly peace. So now let's put... Oh, that's my microphone. Yeah. So now let's put all of this together. Are you trying to do the game? Mm-hmm. Yep. So we play a game sometimes. Stop it. Shh. Where one adult is speaking and this one tries to copy what the person is speaking while they're still speaking. Shh. Okay. So let's put all of this together, and I'm going to invite everyone in the room to help us sing this. Can we get the note F, please? Thank you. All right, ready? Hang on, I'm going to turn off my microphone because y'all don't need to hear all that. Great job. We even have one falling asleep over here. That's perfect. All right. Well, that was our prayer to close us out this morning. So I am so proud of you. And I stop. Seriously. I love you. But stop. So I am so proud of you. And I cannot wait to hear you all sing that all by yourselves tonight. Are you excited?
Yes.
All right. Let's go back to our places.
As we prepare to hear God's word for us in Scripture, let us pray. Holy One, through your Holy Spirit, instruct us by the light of your prophets. Illumine our hearts that we may hear your call to become your path into the world. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Our first scripture reading this morning comes from the book of Malachi, chapter 3. Listen to God's word. See, I am sending my messenger to prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple. The messenger of the covenant in whom you delight, indeed he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. But who can endure the day of his coming, and who can stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire and like washer's soap. He will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. And he will purify the descendants of Levi and refine them like gold and silver until they present offerings to the Lord in righteousness. Then the offering of Judah and Jerusalem will be pleasing to the Lord as in the days of old and as in former years. This is the word of the Lord. Thank you.
You've now had two previews of tonight's program, so make sure you're here. Our second scripture reading comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. In the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, when Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea, and Herod was ruler of Galilee, and his brother Philip, ruler of the region of Iturea, and, should have looked these up ahead of time, Trachonitis, and Lysanias, ruler of Abilene. During the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. He went into all the region around the Jordan, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins, as it is written in the book of the words of the prophet Isaiah, the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be made low. And the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways made smooth, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. That was payback for all of you who get to read Hebrew texts up here. Well, friends, we are well on our way to being fully immersed in the season. How's everyone doing? Raise your hand if your house is fully decorated. Okay. Inside and out. Raise your hand if you have already mailed your Christmas cards. Mm-hmm. Raise your hand if you have finished your Christmas shopping. Okay. One of you is an overachiever back there, right back there. Okay, now how many of you have barely gotten started with all the holiday hoopla? Yep, there we go. Those are my people. As I mentioned last week, I love to listen to the Joy FM on the radio, especially during December when they play non-stop Christmas music. There's a song that often comes on, inevitably when I'm stuck sitting at a traffic light, and it stops me in my tracks. It's by Amy Grant, and it begins, I've made the same mistake before. Too many malls, too many stores. December traffic, Christmas rush. It breaks me till I push and shove. Children are crying while mothers are trying to photograph Santa and sleigh. The shopping and buying and standing forever in line. What can I say? I need a silent night, a holy night, to hear an angel voice through the chaos and the noise. I need a midnight clear, a little peace right here, to end this crazy day with a silent night. We are now in the second week of Advent and have been offered the gift of peace. I wish I could tell you it was just that simple, that the sermon is over and now enjoy your time to go simply breathe and know that God is God. Yet every time I hear that Amy Grant song and close my eyes, unless I'm still driving and didn't make it to the light, I feel such calm and peace. Then someone honks at me to get moving again, since the light has switched back to green. The moment is over and my mind shifts right back to the tasks at hand. Yet the peace of God is not an idle kind of peace. The peace that we are offered this season is not the kind you get when you snuggle under a warm blanket in front of a fire with a cup of hot cocoa and a peppermint stick. It isn't the peace that you feel when you finally finish your holiday to-do list, in my case, usually on Christmas Eve. Honestly, it isn't even the peace that you'll feel this evening when we light our candles and sing Silent Night, Holy Night. Our passage from Luke begins by setting the stage for John the Baptist's ministry. We have quite a bit of historical context, most of which I was not able to pronounce. It's the reign of Tiberius Caesar. Pontius Pilate is ruling over Judea. Herod has control of Galilee. Annas and Caiaphas are high priests in Jerusalem. Yet out of all of these powerful and influential men, it is John who is called to be God's messenger, our final prophet who will announce the arrival of the Messiah. John's message is clear. Get ready, folks. The prophecies are about to be fulfilled. The coming of the Lord is upon us. Now, at this point, John quotes from the prophet Isaiah, and I promise we will come back to that. But let's look at our other prophet this morning. This is one that we don't usually talk much about. In fact, we don't know much about him at all. Obviously, he's a messenger or a prophet. Actually, the word for messenger in Hebrew is malach. So Malachi literally means my messenger. His book is the last book of the Hebrew Bible, and it dates roughly 500 years prior to John the Baptist. He's a great segue between the quote-unquote Old and New Testaments, since the Synoptic Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, equate John as the messenger who is referenced in the passage from Malachi. The messenger who is coming will mark the arrival of the Lord of hosts, but this arrival will not be a peaceful, quiet evening, according to Malachi. In fact, he asks who will be able to withstand when the day arrives. Now let's get a little context. As with all of the Hebrew prophets, the messages are laced with warnings to turn about face away from sinful practices or to expect God's wrath upon the land and the people. Our passage this morning begins with chapter 3, but the chapter before that ends with verse 17, which states, "You have wearied the Lord with your words. Yet you say, how have we wearied him? By saying, all who do evil are good in the sight of the Lord, and he delights in them? Or by asking, where is the God of justice?" See, the people were fed up with the injustices that they lived with on a daily basis. The world clearly was not what it should be. And they dared to question God about why bad people prospered and good people suffered. It's not important what the circumstances were at that time. We could plug this scenario into any era of history. When it feels as though the greedy and dishonest bullies of the world get rich, while honest to goodness, hard-working people struggle to feed their families. Now, this is, of course, a perception. There are good and bad rich people, just as there are good and bad poor people. But we're not meant to think too logically about any of this. The point is, most of us desire to see good people come to good ends and the not-so-good people to get what's coming to them. Some people call it karma. Some people just say what goes around comes around. Yet Malachi and John the Baptist both remind us that judgment comes not just for the people we think deserve it, but to us all, whether we long for God's justice or not. On the surface, it may sound as though I've completely strayed from the whole point, and while I'm prone to do that on occasion, I assure you this is still a discussion about peace. Our adult Sunday school lesson this morning is doing a study on Advent called Peace, Justice, Joy, and Salvation. In this week's lesson, we learned that Pope Paul VI issued a Day of Peace on January 1st, 1972, and said, "If you want peace, work for justice." Now, I don't know about you, but those two words are not usually what I would consider synonymous. Sure, when there is true justice, we may have peace because violent crime and war will theoretically be on a decline. But are they really the same thing? Especially when we equate justice with punishment. Again, bad people getting what's coming to them. Let's look at Malachi again. The coming judgment of the Lord is not one of punishment, but of purification. The illustration he presents is of a refiner's fire and washer's soap. We will be purified like gold and silver. Sounds nice, right? Maybe, but the process is most decidedly not peaceful. If pruning away that which does not serve God involves cutting, then refining involves melting down our whole being until the innermost parts of us have liquefied into molten rock and metal. Then other ingredients must be added, such as lead, to separate the precious metals from the sludge. Then, once the gold and silver have gotten up to 99% pure, because of course we'll never see it 100% pure, it must be cooled, molded, and polished into something considered valuable. Only then will we be acceptable offerings to our Lord. This process does not just affect us, but affects all of creation. I told you we'd get back to Luke. John the Baptist quotes Isaiah when he says, "Prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. Every valley shall be filled, every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways made smooth, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God." The way of the Lord, as described here, is also not peaceful. In fact, it's almost violent. What would it take to fill in the valleys of the world? Earthquakes? Floods? What would cause mountains to be made low? Avalanches? Landslides? I remember when my crooked teeth were made straight with braces. That was a lovely experience. How about the rough ways being made smooth? Like putting sharp rocks in a tumbler with water and grit. They'll become smooth only after bumping and scraping against each other for days or weeks on end. So what exactly is the message? Are we truly willing to experience God's peace by doing justice? What does that entail? How much will the refinement process hurt? Verse 5, immediately following our passage this morning, says, "Then I will draw near to you for judgment. I will be swift to bear witness against the sorcerers, against the adulterers, against those who swear falsely, against those who oppress the hired workers in their wages, the widow, the orphan, against those who thrust aside the alien and do not fear me, says the Lord of hosts." There we are, back to justice. The parts of us that turn away from God towards sin, false witness, oppression of the weak and vulnerable and marginalized among us, those are the parts of us which will be melted away to separate out what is precious in us. As any good silversmith knows, the finished product is pure when one can see their own reflection in the metal. Reverend Dr. Jennifer Ryan Ayers, director of the Doctor of Ministry program at Candler School of Theology, asks, If this is the case, does the prophet also suggest that the Imago Dei is restored in this process? Is humanity deemed good and righteous when once again the divine image is reflected in the human heart? Friends, this is where we shall find true peace. When we are one day presented before the judgment throne of our Creator, and by the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the image of God is reflected through our own hearts. May we strive to see that same reflection, that same Imago Dei, in every face we meet, even as we wait in anticipation to gaze upon our Savior's face on a silent, holy night, when the stars will shine brightly and our eyes at last shall see him in Royal David's city, lying in a manger. Believe it, receive it, and be at peace. Amen. Friends, as we have heard the message read and proclaimed, let us affirm our faith together using the Apostles' Creed. Children of God, what do we believe? I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. Let us pray. God, we thank you for the refining nature of your love for us. We thank you that your justice extends beyond our own sense of right and wrong, of reward and punishment. As we continue in this Advent season, may we seek peace in the world by doing justice to others, as you would have us to do, by loving mercy and walking humbly with you. Lord God, Prince of Peace, we lift our prayers to you for a hurting and broken world, and we say together, even now, come, Lord Jesus. Hear now our prayers of peace. Peace for the leaders and people of every nation. Even now, come, Lord Jesus. Peace for the church and all who serve the Lord. Even now, come, Lord Jesus, peace for those who suffer in sorrow and affliction. Even now, come, Lord Jesus. Peace for refugees and travelers far from home. Even now, come, Lord Jesus. Peace for all who are in prison or facing trial. Even now, come, Lord Jesus. Peace for those who sit in darkness or in the shadow of death. Even now, come, Lord Jesus. Gracious God, this is our prayer, that your love will overflow more and more in our lives, in your church, and in all the world, until all may come to know the peace that passes all understanding, which comes from our Lord Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Friends, we are called by God to present a harvest of justice, peace, and righteousness, not by the virtue of our own works, but by the grace of the one who began the refining work in us and is even now bringing it to completion. Let us therefore bring the offering of our lives to the Lord. Let us pray. God of all righteousness, receive these gifts of gratitude, the offerings of our lives. Purify them with your refining fire so that they may serve your purposes and shine with your glory. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Friends, God has shown you what is good. And what does the Lord require of you but to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God? And so therefore, go in peace. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. And love your neighbor as you love yourself. And know that the strong, sure love of God, the amazing grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the intimate, renewing presence of the Holy Spirit will be with you now and always. Amen.